And now, Lifestyles Unlimited presents the Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Over the next hour, we unfold your map to financial freedom. You'll learn how to retire through investing in single-family and multifamily real estate. You'll learn how to create cash flow and build wealth so you can have the time and money to live the lifestyle you want.
Welcome to the show. My name is Al Gordon, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. Hey, if you're trying to get a hold of me, the easiest way to do it is to send me an email at askal@luinc.com. That's askal@luinc.com. Now, I'm going to respond to you directly. I don't have a staff that does any of that stuff. Every email comes directly to me, so you and I will be communicating with each other. And on today's show, what I've decided to do is put my professor hat back on, and I'm going to teach you something that maybe you don't know. Now, many of you are aware of this, but many of you are not aware of the topic that I'm going to convey to you today. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to take you into a classroom. I'm going to take you to a marketing classroom, and I'm going to talk about something called the four P's. Now, if you ever studied marketing, you were exposed to the four P's. Every professor is required to teach about the four P's because the four P's are synonymous with what your customer wants, needs, or desires. And that's what the four P's are designed to do, is to help you develop what it is you're making available for your customer. Now, the four P's, I'll just hit you with them. Product, price, place, promotion. Those are the four P's. And what they're designed to do specifically is to focus on your end user, your customer, the person that the four P's is trying to support. Yeah, the four P's are designed to give you information that helps you develop the product. And it helps you develop the price for the product. It helps you develop the place where the product will be. And it helps you to promote the product, because if you don't promote the product, people don't know about your product. So why is this important to a real estate investor? Because, not because I said so, but because it just makes perfect sense. And that's the reason I'm bringing this out of the classroom and I'm bringing it into your world, so that you can understand that there's something in the business realm that you could learn today without going to college, without spending $100,000 or whatever it costs to go to college today, to get a degree, to get the information that you need, because I'm going to give you the information today. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? All right, so buckle up. We're going to have some fun today, because I'm going to explain to you the four P's of marketing. Again, product, price, place, and promotion. Now, to start this thing off, what we really have to understand is our customer. Who is our customer? Now, depending on what you do, your customer may be one particular subgroup of people, or it might be another subgroup of people, or it might consist of multiple subgroups of people, or it might consist of a genre of people. There's different ways to classify who your ultimate customer needs to be. So let's figure out what it is we're planning to do. We're going to be buy and hold real estate investors. That's what we do at Lifestyles Unlimited. That's what we're going to teach you how to do. We're going to teach you how to do it in the single family space. We'll teach you how to do it in the multifamily space. But at the end of the day, you're going to buy real estate. You're going to hold that real estate. You're going to rent that real estate out. And in order to get the best returns, you're going to find the worst real estate. Yeah, I said worst. Yeah, not like Brockwurst. I'm talking about the nasty stuff, the stuff that people don't want to buy. Yeah, people go and they look at and they go, oh, this is terrible. I can't see anybody living here. That's the kind of stuff that you want to buy. Because one of the other things we're going to teach you is how to renovate that product and make it available to the right customer. Now, who is the right customer? That customer should be somebody that's looking for what we consider workforce housing. Now, what is workforce housing? Workforce housing is housing that in essence is tailored to a particular demographic in the marketplace. So who do we classify as the people that would fit the niche of workforce residents? Well, we look at people that are blue-collar workers. We look at people that are young professionals, maybe families seeking affordable yet high-quality housing. See, that's what we're planning to provide to those types of people. Because what we've learned is that those people are willing to give us one-third of their income in order to live in the place that we make available to them. They're willing to enter into a year-long agreement to pay us on a monthly basis one-third of everything that they make, because that's the cost of housing in America today. It really is. It's also part of how we figure out if the individual that we're looking to provide the product to meets the qualification requirements in order to rent our property. See, not only are they willing to give us one third of what they make, we want to make sure that they're making three times what we're going to charge them in rent so that they don't have any issues paying their rent. They've got money for their car. They've got money for their insurance. They've got money for their utilities. They've got money to go and buy food. They've got money to put clothes on the children. They've got money to live their workforce lifestyle. And we're the housing provider providing clean, functional workforce housing to a demographic that is desperately seeking the product that we provide. Let me change gears on you. One of my Lifestyles Unlimited fellow members sent me an email this morning, and it's kind of an interesting email. It's talking about a property, and this particular property is one that they purchased recently. And the interesting thing about this property is that it's a property that they lived in when they were a kid. So they've got memories of this particular property. And they shot me about 14 different pictures of the exterior and the interior. Now, the exterior of this property, it doesn't look too bad. It's kind of a brick frontage. It's got a little patio area in the front of the house. It's got some vines kind of growing up on the roof that probably need to come off. But, you know, exterior-wise, it just probably just needs a good power wash. It's in pretty good shape. The rear of the property looks like it's in pretty good shape. So not too bad. And then you flip the pictures through and you get to the pictures of the interior. And here's what you find in the interior. The place is trashed. It is literally trashed. I mean, there's trash everywhere. Trash, you can't even tell what's on the floor. There's so much trash spewing all throughout this house. And I looked at the walls, and the walls, they all have holes in them. It appears that somebody went in and ripped out all of the electrical supply to this particular property, because everywhere there should be like a light switch or an electrical outlet has a hole in the drywall. And then there's a tear in the drywall it's about the width of that material that provides the electricity. You know what I'm talking about, right? I forgot what it's called. Nomex, maybe. Yeah, and you can just see where they just grabbed the wire and just basically pulled on it and ripped it through the drywall. So you got these little snake-looking things all throughout the property. And then it looks like they tried to tear out the air returns because there's damage to the interior ceiling. So this property on the interior is in pretty bad shape. Now, since we're talking about the four Ps, product, price, place, and promotion, this is a good time to dig into the product, because if we're going to offer this particular property on the market for rent, we're going to have to offer it at a very, very low rental price point. As a matter of fact, we shouldn't even rent this property out because it doesn't meet our standards. It does not meet our standards. We believe in quality renovations, not junk property. What do I mean by quality renovations? Well, what we do is we transform the distressed property into move-in ready property with, you know, somewhat modern fixtures, at least what the going fixtures are in the neighborhood that we're in. See, we take a look at our product and we compare it to other potential products in the neighborhood, and we want to make sure that we make them as nice, if not just a tad bit nicer. But when I say a tad bit, I mean that. I mean just a tad bit. We don't want to overimprove these properties. But one of the things that we might do is we might put in something in our property that can't be found in the competition. Sometimes that's a tile backsplash by the sink. Sometimes that's a microwave built in above the range and oven that has venting capabilities. Not every property has those types of things. So we might put one of those things in our property. And the reason we do that is we want our property to stand out amongst the competition, but we don't want it to be overimproved, because if we overimprove it, there's only so much we're going to be able to charge for rent in that particular neighborhood. Does that make sense? The other thing that we're looking at is we want to make sure that when somebody walks into the property, it presents to them as clean and functional. What does that mean, clean and functional? It means that there's an emphasis on a practical layout. In other words, you know, if it's a 3-bedroom, 2-bath property like this property that my colleague sent me, we want to make sure that the floor plan is decent. We want to make sure that people don't have to walk through a bedroom to get to another bedroom. That's not a functional floor plan. That's somebody adding on that didn't really think through the process or was trying to do it on the cheap. And they kind of, in my opinion, screwed up the functionality of the property. Now, I see properties like that from time to time. And, you know, sometimes you can make it work. Sometimes you can't make it work. But at the end of the day, you want to make sure that you're picking out a floor plan that makes sense. If you've got a floor plan that's just it seems to be an afterthought, you should make it an afterthought and you should pass on that particular property. Now, another thing we're concerned about is we're concerned about amenities like, you know, making sure the kitchen is nice, making sure the bathrooms are nice. If you're married, you know that your spouse is probably concerned about those particular elements of a property. My wife is more concerned with the layout of the kitchen and what the bathrooms look like than she is the overall size or amenities of the other rooms in the property. Now, if you're a woman listening to the sound of my voice, you're probably agreeing with me right now, because it's a big deal. It is a big deal. And what I'm conveying to you is that I understand how big of a deal it is. So we want to make sure that we put a little bit of emphasis into those kitchens and bathrooms. Even if we're just renting to single males, the single male may appreciate what we do. And at the end of the day, we're not trying to distinguish between male and female or anything like that. We're just trying to provide a property that has nice amenities, such as a nice kitchen, nice bathrooms, and maybe have some energy efficiency to it. Because maybe as part of the rehab process, we transformed the HVAC system. In other words, the old system may have been really old. It may not have been efficient anymore. As a matter of fact, it may not comply with current guidelines and current regulations on what you can use for Freon. So maybe we replace that thing. And guess what? The person that moves into that property gets the benefit of not only a brand new HVAC system, they get the benefit of having a system that is energy efficient. Now, something else we need to talk about with regards to product is that when you're transforming these properties, you're thinking about what needs to be done in accordance with how much you're going to spend, because that's all part of the planning process. In other words, this property that my colleague sent me, clearly it's going to need flooring. Clearly, it's going to need cabinets. And the reason I know it needs cabinets is because it looks like most of the cabinet drawers are scattered around the house as part of all that debris. Somebody just went into this property and they just, when I say trashed it, they trashed it. I'm looking at a picture of one of the cabinet drawers laying in the middle of the living room, and it looks like somebody like jumped up and down on it because it is not in the rectangular shape that you would expect it to be in. It's got a huge gash in the middle of it, meaning that that particular drawer is probably no longer useful to that cabinetry. As a matter of fact, that cabinetry looks like it has been damaged enough that it's probably going to need to be replaced. So these are things that we think about as we're considering the product. When we come back from the break, I'll hit you with the rest of the P's. Stick around.
Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show returns in a moment. Got questions? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com.
The Lifestyles Unlimited team of real estate investing mentors and educators want to meet you. Learn to retire in 5 years or less. Text the word radio to 88007. That's radio to 88007. Join for just $297. Lifestyles Unlimited.
Creating the lifestyle you've always wanted. You're hearing Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome back to the second half of the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. My name is Al Gordon, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. And we're doing so today by talking about a marketing concept called the four P's. Now, I'm trying to take a master's level class and condense it down into a radio show. And I'll just be upfront and honest with you and tell you, I may not be doing the best job possible, because if I'm going to give you a master's level class, I probably need about 16 solid hours of lecture time. And then I need you to read like a book that's probably about 2 inches thick that has mice type in it. You know what I'm talking about, right? And then I'm going to have you write some papers so that you can demonstrate that you've learned the information. That's if we're going to do it the educational way based on traditional education. That's not what we're doing here. What I'm doing here is I'm giving you the information you need so that you can plug it into your brain so that you have takeaway information that will benefit you. And I think that's working. So what I was talking about before we went to the commercial break was I was talking about the product aspect of the four P's. Essentially, what you're doing is you're going to go out, you're going to find a distressed piece of real estate, kind of like the one I was describing to you earlier in the show, that my colleague is going to renovate, and they're going to turn it into a really nice property. They're going to put new flooring in it, new HVAC. They're planning on doing stainless steel appliances because apparently the neighborhood, that's what it supports. They're going to do fresh paint on the interior. They're going to clean up the brick on the exterior. It looks like he said he's going to paint the exterior also on the backside. So it's going to be a nice renovation. The roof seems to be in decent condition. So, you know, he's going to have to put electrical back into this thing. So it's going to cost some money to do that. So he's got to work out what it costs to do the renovations and make sure that everything is going to make sense with regards to the property. Now, anybody can go out and renovate any property. And anybody can go out and over-improve said property. So that's why it's important for you to understand what is over-improvement and what is not over-improvement. And then you have to have an understanding of what it costs to do all of these things. Now, the next P that we're going to talk about is the concept of price. And we're going to be dealing with a couple of different pricing variables here. Number one, there's a price that we're going to pay for the asset. In other words, there's a price that my colleague paid to buy the house that they lived in as a child. So that was one price. And I guarantee you that price is a lot lower than what the price would be when the property is all fixed up. So that is a different price. Another price we need to consider is the price of rent. What can we rent the property for? What can a property in that particular neighborhood with new flooring, stainless steel appliances, fresh paint, new HVAC, new electrical, what can that property rent for in the neighborhood? So we're gonna take a look and see what the rents are in the neighborhood. And it's not that hard to figure that out. In the old days, we would go to the newspaper because people would publish for rent ads in the newspaper, and you could call them and you could get information. Well, we don't do newspapers anymore. We do what? The internet, right? So there's all types of resources on the internet that will give you pricing information. Hopefully that sums up the metric of price for you, because what we've got to do is we've got to move on to place. Now, place is something that is very fixed. In other words, when you select the asset you select, you're selecting the place also, because with very, very few exceptions, real estate, it's not movable. No, you just don't go and pick it up and move it to another location. Now, there are properties that you can do that with, stuff that was built on Pier and Beam. There are companies that will move those properties for you. But we don't normally do that as far as it's being real estate investors. That's kind of a bridge too far. We would rather just renovate what's there and leave the property in place. Does that make sense? All right. So you have to look at place from a strategic lens. You have to take a look at where you want to invest your hard-earned money. Do you want to be in a neighborhood that supports workforce housing, that's near industrial parks, hospitals, transit hubs, things that would benefit the residents that live in the property? I think so. I think I just described how you strategically pick where your property is going to be. You also look for other type of rental demand. In other words, is there rental demand in that neighborhood? Are there other rentals that you would compete with but are as nice or maybe not as nice as your particular asset? You need to understand what your competition is. Now, I will tell you, there are members of Lifestyles Unlimited that will buy in very specific areas because they know that other Lifestyles Unlimited members have bought in those areas. That is a metric that they use that determines whether or not they're going to buy in a particular neighborhood. So they in essence, they select neighborhoods based on the fact that they know they've got, well, colleagues that are investing in that area. And there's a follow on to having those colleagues there, because if you're looking for any pricing information, you can just call up your fellow Lifestyles Unlimited member and say, hey, Bob, I'm buying this property. It's just down the street from your property. What are you seeing for rents? And Bob would tell you, because that's the way we get along in the Lifestyles Unlimited community. Now, one other thing that we need to talk about, the fourth P, is something called promotion. Promotion involves marketing the property to attract and retain residents while building a strong brand reputation. Now, you might be thinking, dude, I'm thinking about buying one particular house, renovating that one particular house, putting that one particular house on the market. How am I going to build brand reputation when I've just got one property? You start with property number one, because in your mind, you have to realize that you're not going to stop with property number one. You're going to move on to property number two. And you're going to build a brand reputation with the person that rents from you in property number one. And the reason you're going to build a strong brand reputation with them is because you're going to operate the property differently than, say, your competition operates the property. In other words, you're going to give the right level of service to your customers. You will have renovated the property so that nothing that could go wrong should go wrong, probably won't go wrong, which means you don't waste their time having to hang out in the house while you send a repairman over to fix something that you should have fixed before that person ever moved in. Does that make sense? Okay, so you're building brand reputation with the person living in the house. Do you think that they have friends? Do you think they know of people where they work that are looking for a place to live? And what if you've settled on a particular neighborhood and you're already looking for property number two? You've already identified property number two and you're going to buy property number two. Wouldn't it be nice if you could promote the fact that you're going to create as nice a property in property number two as you did in property number one? And you're going to communicate that information to as many people as you can. The idea here is that you're going to be marketing and promoting your property before the property is even available for rent. And you're going to do it because you're trying to reach as many people as you can. You can use digital marketing. You can use high quality photos. You can do anything you need to do to demonstrate that a beautiful property is coming on the market for a really great rental price. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to take you through a property that's available for sale in the greater Houston market. I'm not trying to sell you this house. I'm not trying to recommend that you buy this house. What we're going to do is we're going to look at this house and see how the four P's, price, product, promotion, and place, impact the money. Yeah, because at the end of the day, the reason we're doing all of this stuff, the reason we're investing in real estate is not, it's really not about the real estate. It's about what the real estate does for us. It provides us ways to make money, different ways to make money. Now, you're conditioned to believe that there's really only one way to make money in real estate, and that is to buy a property, to hold on to it, and let it go up in value. Natural appreciation. Well, that's just one of five ways that we understand as Lifestyles Unlimited members about how we make money with the same asset. Not only are we going to take advantage of natural appreciation, we're going to buy the asset in a distressed condition. Very similar to the property I was talking about at the beginning of the show. That is a property that's in distressed condition. Most people that walk into that property will turn up their nose to it and turn around and walk away because, number one, they don't know what to do to remedy that property. And number two, they don't know that they can buy that property at a discount. And in doing so, they can renovate the property while still staying at a discount, pay all the closing costs, pay all the holding and carrying costs, and still be at a discounted rate. What does that mean, a discounted rate? In other words, they're doing everything within a wholesale pricing element for that property. They're buying the property for pennies on the dollar. They're improving the property for market costs because it does cost what the market charges to improve the property. But the cost to improve that property, plus any closing and holding costs associated with doing so, still keeps you at a wholesale price. There's another price called the retail price. That retail price, the difference between the retail price and your all-in wholesale price, is additional equity that we capture in this deal over and above the cash that you and I would put into the property to purchase equity. I said a lot, probably just hurt your head, but let me give you some numbers, and maybe the numbers will satisfy the curiosity that I've created in you. The property, all fixed up, is worth $225,000. That's what it would trade for in a better condition than it's currently in now. It's worth $225,000. But in its current condition, you can buy it for 50 cents on the dollar because it's only worth 50 cents on the dollar. You can buy the property for about $114,000. You're going to have rehab costs. Those rehab costs are just shy of $60,000. Remember, I told you there's a lot of stuff that needs to be done on this property, right? Oh, you don't remember? Okay. Flooring, HVAC, electrical, paint interior, paint exterior, stainless steel appliances. That's the improvement plan. That's going to cost about $59,500 in the market that this is in the greater Houston market. Now, you're going to have closing and holding costs of about another $10,000. But if you take that $114,000, you add the $59,500 of rehab costs, you add the additional $10,000 of closing and holding costs, you're still $41,500 below the after repair value. $41,500 of additional equity. That's the delta between the after repair value and your all-in cost. Now, here's another neat thing that you need to understand about this property. You're not going to have to put 20% down. You know that when you buy property, you put 20% down if you're not buying it for your own personal residence. You know that, right? Okay. Well, this particular property, because you're doing it the way we're going to teach you how to do it, you're not going to put 20% down. You're not going to put 25% down. You're not going to put 30% down. You could if you wanted to, But you don't have to. As a matter of fact, you only have to put about 7% down. Effectively, you're going to put $16,000 of your own money into this deal. $16,000 of cash to buy an asset that's going to capture an additional $41,500 of equity. Your total equity is $57,500. Where else in the world are you aware that you can take $16,000 and develop it into so much equity? I don't know of any other investment that isn't like ridiculously risky that can do what real estate can do for you. Do you think it's a game changer when you can take $16,000 and turn it into $57,500? I think it's a total game changer. As a matter of fact, it represents almost 260% return on investment based off of the capital gain. Now, we haven't even talked about what this property can rent for. We've determined that the property can rent for a decent amount in the market. I'm not going to give you the rental amount because it doesn't matter, because at the end of the day, we have to take costs off of that rental amount. And what we're looking for is the residual cash flow. So we take rent minus operational expenses equals cash flow. What is the cash flow in this property? $335 per month. This property can produce $335 of additional income every month in your household. When you annualize that, that works out to be just above $4,000 per year. When's the last time your boss gave you a $4,000 a year raise? Now check this out. What's your rate of return on the cash on cash? How do you determine that? Well, you take $4,020, which is your annualized rental income. You divide it by $16,000. That's the amount of cash you're putting into the deal. And you're getting a 25.13% return on investment. 25.13% return on investment. What are you investing in now that's giving you 25.13% return on investment on the cash on cash and giving you just shy of 260% return on the capital gains? You're drawing a blank, aren't you? But I know real estate does it, and I know it does it very effectively. And here's what I also know. If you don't know how to do this correctly, it could be a train wreck for you. You could make a major mistake because you're not educated, and it could cost you a lot of money. That's where all the bad news stories in real estate investing come from. The fact that people went out and invested money into assets that they shouldn't have invested in, or they didn't understand the asset. They didn't understand how the asset would make them money. They just thought, well, we'll just go buy a property. And that's what they did. And then they learned the hard way. They learned that they had negative cash flow. They learned that they paid full retail price for the property, and they shouldn't have. They learned that by paying full retail price, there was no money sitting in all of the potential equity because they didn't buy the property at a wholesale price. So there was no equity available to help renovate the property. There was no ability to come in at like 7% down, an effective down payment amount. It just doesn't exist for the people that make mistakes. But here's what I want for you. I want you to do the right thing the first time. I want you to get educated. I want you to get a mentor. I want you to learn about the five different ways that we make money in real estate. I want you to understand the cash flow. I want you to understand the equity capture. I want you to understand the natural appreciation, the principal pay down, the tax advantages of being a real estate investor. I want you to understand it all, and I want you to be armed and literally dangerous when you go into your first deal. But you're going to have the benefit of having a mentor by your side, and that mentor brings something that you don't have to the table called experience. They could see you making a potential problematic move, And you know what they're able to do? Stop you in your tracks. They can say, I don't think you should do that because that won't return for you what you think it's going to return. A mentor is very, very valuable. So having education, having mentorship are the two things that you must have in your arsenal if you're going to do real estate investing the correct way. Now you're in luck because there's an organization called Lifestyles Unlimited that I happen to be a member of that's been around for 35 years, based out of Houston, Texas, that's a nationwide organization that teaches people like you and me how to do this the right way. All you have to do is go to lifestylesunlimited.com, sign up for a free workshop, and let's get you going.
Thank you for listening to Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. We want to meet you as well. Sign up for a free workshop at lifestylesunlimited.com. Until next time, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.